It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
The great unraveling is upon us. All that's unfolding could not occur without the active or passive support of the majority population. Participating in insanity, or pretending it isn't real, won't protect us from the insanity. It will only perpetuate it. It will only further fuel the fire. What exactly does this statement imply? Stay with me through this broadcast and find out. A quick note, this is not a head in the sand or a mass distraction broadcast. It's about harsh realities that are quickly closing in on us all, realities that must be faced if we're to have any chance of changing course in time. Any that are looking for, quote, feel-good news or endless circular rants of orchestrated political mass distraction, this is the wrong broadcast. The latest installment of the commercial-free Global Alert News Hour starts now. In this broadcast, headlines most relevant to our collective future or potential lack of it. CV-19 and biosphere collapse. What's the connection? Let's put some pieces of the puzzle together. As Mark Twain stated, a quote which has been previously cited on this broadcast, he said, "If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed." Since the time of Twain, the depth of deception has metastasized into an incurable cancer. The corporate media crafts the narrative in servitude to those who fund and control it. By the time populations awaken to the deceptions, it is all too often too late. Against the background of biosphere collapse, many wheels have been put into motion. Any who dare to question are marginalized. This new headline from CNN is a glaring example. Quote, U.S. government slow to act as anti-vaxxers spread lies on social media about coronavirus vaccine. The CNN report further states, quote, conspiracy theorists attack efforts for COVID-19 vaccine. That headline and statement from CNN should be deeply considered. That anyone who dares to question the safety of a vaccine is a, quote, conspiracy theorist, end quote. It seems we, the population, are no longer allowed to question the safety of a vaccine that is being or has already been thrown together at, quote, warp speed by big pharma companies often run by former U.S. government agency officials. And again, if you do question, if you dare to ask for solid proof of safety, you are, quote, a conspiracy theorist, a term that is the last transparent defense of the dishonest or willfully ignorant. How are the CV-19 vaccine trials going? Not so well. In a recent online debate on mandatory vaccinations, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. pointed out that a significant percentage of participants in a recent trial for a leading coronavirus vaccine have been hospitalized. Kennedy, an environmental attorney, also noted that several of the coronavirus vaccine developers, a number of which have received funding from Bill Gates, have been forced to pay billions of dollars in criminal penalties related to their medical products. Kennedy stated, quote, it requires a cognitive dissonance for people who understand the criminal corporate cultures of these four companies to believe that they're doing this in every other product that they have, but that they're not doing it with vaccines. Again, Kennedy stated. Kennedy further wrote, quote, vaccines for Bill Gates are a strategic philanthropy that fed his many vaccine-related businesses, including Microsoft's ambition to control a global vaccination ID enterprise and to give him, Gates, dictatorial control of global health policy. But, in fact, the objectives and agendas in play are much larger even than this. Biosphere collapse will remain the bottom line driving motivation for those in power. Moving on, more headlines, more pieces to the puzzle. From LifeSite News and other sources, this headline, quote, doctors lay out plan to, quote, punish people who refuse coronavirus vaccine. There is no alternative, end quote. From the report, simply put, getting vaccinated is going to be our patriotic duty, and America should consider making it difficult for the unvaccinated to participate in society. Report further states, a coronavirus vaccine should be mandatory, and tax penalties, higher insurance premiums, and denial of many government and private services ought to be considered for those refusing the shot, three doctors argued on USA Today. Consider the statement from the doctors in question that, quote, getting vaccinated is going to be our patriotic duty, end quote. With that in mind, consider this quote from Samuel Johnson. Patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. Now consider this quote from philosopher Ralph Barton Perry, who said, if patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel, it is not merely because evil deeds may be performed in the name of patriotism, but because patriotic fervor can obliterate moral distinctions altogether. To be clear, blind, unquestioning so-called patriotism is in fact cowardice and tyranny. Moving on, from numerous New Zealand media sources, this, coronavirus. Government will send all confirmed COVID-19 community cases to quarantine facilities. From that report, the government will send all of the confirmed community cases of COVID-19 to a quarantine facility instead of allowing them to recover at home. This is already the case for any cases found in border hotels, but was not previously the position of those out and about in New Zealand who contracted the virus. Can't go home. Have to go to a community quarantine center. This scenario is likely coming soon for us all. Now let's consider this. A disturbing warning letter from a German naturopath, Annette Lillinger, to all of her patients inquiring about the upcoming coronavirus vaccine. Dr. Lillinger stated this, "For all my patients, I would like to urgently draw your attention to the important questions concerning a forthcoming COVID-19 vaccination. Due to the new mode of action of the future coronavirus vaccine, such cure successes will no longer be possible in the future. For the first time in the history of vaccinations, the so-called latest generation mRNA vaccines intervene directly in the patient's genetic material and thus change the individual genetic material, which represents genetic manipulation, something that has been banned, even considered criminal, so far." Dr. Lillinger continues with this. "This intervention can be compared to that of genetically manipulated foods, which is also very controversial." She continues, "Even if the media and politicians currently trivialize the issue and even call without thinking about a new type of vaccination in order to return to, quote, normalcy." Lillinger's message continues. "Such vaccination is problematic in terms of health, morals, and ethics, and also in terms of genetic damage, which, unlike damage caused by previous vaccinations, will now be irreversible and irreparable." She continues, "Dear patients, after such an unprecedented vaccination against mRNA, you will no longer be able to cure the symptoms of vaccination in a complementary manner." She further states, "You will have to live with the consequences because they can no longer be cured simply by eliminating toxins from the human body. Just as you cannot cure a person with a genetic defect such as Down syndrome or Klinefelter syndrome, Turner syndrome, genetic heart disease, hemophilia, cystic fibrosis, Rett syndrome, etc., because the genetic defect is once and for all present." She finishes with these statements. "Clearly, this means if you develop a symptom of vaccination after a vaccination with mRNA, neither I nor any other therapist can help you in a casual way because the damage caused by the vaccination will be genetically irreversible." She finishes with this. "In my opinion, these new vaccines represent a crime against humanity that has never been committed in such a broad form in history." Final statement from this report. This message, this letter from Dr. Lillinger. She states, "Dr. Wolfgang Woodarg, the chair of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of European Health Committee, said yesterday, quote, in reality, this promising vaccine for the vast majority of people is in fact prohibited genetic manipulation. Think deeply on that, as the U.S. corporate media tries to trivialize and marginalize any who dare to question what's unfolding and what's being forced on us. They continue to try and tell us what we need to do in order to, quote, return to normal. Understand, our former reality is gone, It's not coming back. Those that are orchestrating all that is unfolding have no intention of any return to, quote, normalcy. And also important to understand is this: the reality we formerly knew was already imploding. Climate and environmental collapse is ultimately at the core of all that I have just covered. How many actually want to know what's unfolding and why? Let's stop for a moment to consider this summary from a 2017 Psychological Review report titled "The Psychology of Not Wanting to Know." It states, ignorance is generally pictured as an unwanted state of mind, and the act of willful ignorance may raise eyebrows. Yet people do not always want to know, demonstrating a lack of curiosity, which is at odds with theories postulating a general need for certainty, ambiguity aversion, or the Bayesian principle of total evidence. We propose a regret theory of deliberate ignorance that covers both negative feelings that may arise from foreknowledge of negative events such as death and divorce, and positive feelings of surprise and suspense that may arise from foreknowledge of positive events, such as knowing the sex of an unborn child, for example. The report states, we conduct the first representative nationwide studies to estimate the prevalence and predictability of deliberate ignorance for a sample of 10 events. Its prevalence is high. Between 85% and 90% of people would not want to know about upcoming negative events, and 40% to 70% prefer to remain ignorant of positive events. Only 1% of participants consistently wanted to know. 1%. Is that not a shocking statistic? Is that not a reflection of what we see in societies today? That the vast majority, perhaps as much as 99%, don't want to know. This psychological report continues with this, quote, we also deduce and test several predictions from the regret theory. Individuals who prefer to remain ignorant are more risk-averse and more frequently buy life and legal insurance. The theory also implies the time-to-event hypothesis, which states that for the regret-prone, deliberate ignorance is more likely the nearer the event approaches. Summary: the closer we get to impact, the deeper most heads are being rammed into the sand. That's not a recipe for avoiding near-term planetary omnicide, which is drawing nearer by the day. Now consider this statement from Zbigniew Brzezinski, recently deceased personal advisor to U.S. presidents going all the way back to Lyndon Johnson. Brzezinski stated this, quote, more directly linked to the impact of technology, it involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled and directed society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite whose claim to political power would rest on allegedly superior scientific know-how. Unhindered by the restraints of traditional liberal values, this elite would not hesitate to achieve its political ends by using the latest modern techniques for influencing public behavior and keeping society under close surveillance and control. Yes, quote, influencing public behavior. For how many decades has the programming of idiocy and insanity been carried out? How many older generations remember the school drills of hiding under your desk in the event of a nuclear bomb? Sure, that would save us, right? Total idiocy. But societal training, nonetheless, only one example. Peer-reviewed science reports from 2015 prove conclusively where and how the gain-of-function COVID characteristic came to be, its ability to make the jump to humans. Yet few now seem to care. Though within this piece of the puzzle exists the keys to the door. We cannot fully recognize or comprehend the path we are collectively on unless or until the path we have already traveled is fully acknowledged and fully considered. Perhaps now, at this late hour, in fact, some are beginning to do just that. But the rate of wake-up must be accelerated. Time is absolutely not on our side. Where do we go from here? In a moment, the most recent breaking frontline reports of issues and events that will most impact our collective future. More pieces to the puzzle. First, I wish to express my deepest gratitude to each and every individual that is doing their best to stay informed, to wake others with credible data from a credible source, and to help turn the tide of insanity. Thank you for your help with sounding the alarm, more than I can ever state. It is our collective efforts that can yet make a difference. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 262, August 15th, 2020. In this broadcast, news that covers the issues we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM. Sunday mornings repeat broadcast, same time slot. KQMS, which carries this broadcast, is the largest news talk radio show north of Sacramento in California. This broadcast is also re-aired on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising printed materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Again, a picture is worth a thousand words. Passing on the printed material with less verbal dissertation, which tends to put people's defenses up, is often exponentially more effective. Something to consider. It can be mailed out with social contact not being what it once was and what it will likely never be again. There are other ways to get this data out, but it is imperative that we do so because, again, time is not on our side. With each passing day, the sand in the hourglass continues to run down. Question: what would reason and logic dictate to be top priorities for us all? How important is the air we breathe? More pieces to the puzzle from Vox.com and other sources. Air pollution is much worse than we thought. From that report, science keeps revealing that air pollution is more harmful than previously believed. Here's a footnote on that statement, on that headline. Official air testing agencies by design don't even test for the most prolific and toxic air particles, particles that are unimaginably smaller than 2.5 microns. In fact, most air testing agencies only test down to 10 micron particles. Very few test even at 2.5. Climate engineering particles of heavy metal and polymers are in the 20 to 100 nanometer range, exponentially smaller than anything official agencies test for. All of this material is unreported by any official agency. How do I know? I attended a closed-door meeting at the state capitol in Sacramento, arranged by a congressional rep with five top Cal EPA and CARB, the California Air Resources Board officials, and told to my face, the entire state air testing system is rigged. Their words. Told to my face that state agencies test for, quote, combustion particulates only, and only for particulates of, at best, 2.5 microns or larger, generally 10 microns. The rest of the samples go out the window. That's exactly what I was told. Geoengineeringwatch.org conducted atmospheric testing. Through great expense and difficulty, we conducted this testing in a NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, flying lab that conclusively proved these nanoparticles are in our breathable air column. And this is not to mention the countless lab tests from around the globe that prove the same. Precipitation testing, if it's in the rain, it's in the air. Massive amounts of aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, surfactants, everything we know that's in climate engineering operations. And what else is there that we can't know and don't have the ability to test for? And why wouldn't we think it's there, other elements in these atmospheric aerosol dispersions? With that in mind, consider this new headline report issued last week from the World Economic Forum. Quote, the deadly link between COVID-19 and air pollution. From that report, airborne particulate matter may help to spread the virus. And let's not forget these recent headlines from multiple sources. First headline, coronavirus spread, COVID-19 detected on particles of air pollution. And this, from multiple sources, air pollution may be, quote, key contributor to COVID-19 deaths. Imagine that. Though it is indeed alarming to contemplate how these dots very likely connect, not wanting to know will only ensure our near-term demise. Look up and take note of our not-so-blue skies, often dingy and silvery white or worse, depending on the time of year and the levels of atmospheric moisture. Our skies can be blanketed with lingering, expanding, geoengineering jet-sprayed particulate trails. In the hot and dry summer months, when ionosphere heater-induced high-pressure domes are installed over the west to help direct upper-level wind currents, a function the geoengineers regularly carry out, dispersions are far less visible under these conditions, but still occurring. And the prolific spraying over our oceans is constantly blowing in. And no, it's not condensation. The condensation trail narrative is a blatant and verifiable lie. Search geoengineeringwatch.org, high bypass turbofan jet engine, and learn more. A high bypass jet engine is standard on all commercial jet aircraft and all military tankers. This is a jet-powered fan, and by design, nearly incapable of producing any, quote, condensation trail except under rare and extreme conditions. Then there's the retrofit nozzles mounted on aircraft just above the jet engine. It's on the aircraft pylon. It's aimed into the engine exhaust jet stream. This makes the dispersions appear to be, quote, condensation when they are anything but. They're sprayed particulate dispersions that are part of ongoing solar radiation management, climate engineering operations, also titled stratospheric aerosol injection. Ultimately, all of these operations amount to weather warfare, nothing less. And I'm not asking anyone to believe anything I state on this broadcast. I'm asking you to actually investigate, to honestly, objectively investigate. Go to geoengineeringwatch.org and examine up close photos of these nozzles. Bottom line, jet aircraft are spraying particulate matter into our skies. Film footage proves this conclusively. See the jet spraying section on the top of the geoengineeringwatch.org homepage. View the footage for yourself. Footage that includes dispersions being turned on and off. Can't do that with a condensation trail. Nozzles visible. Some of this footage coming from military tankers like KC-10s. When atmospheric moisture increases, the climate engineering jet dispersions also increase. With that in mind, consider this new headline report issued last week from medicalexpress.com. Quote, spikes in emergency room visits found for respiratory problems in the days before a thunderstorm. This has happened on an immense scale in Australia that they termed, quote, thunderstorm asthma. Really. From this report, the scientists suggest that the increase in respiratory problems is likely due to a, quote, combination of sources of particulate matter increasing in the atmosphere. Well, they got that part right, but they'll never tell you what the worst source of that particulate matter is. The climate engineering elephant in the sky that no one's allowed to mention, that corporate media demonizes anybody who dares to mention it, that the whole of academia still betraying the human race and the entire web of life by their denial of these ongoing and blatantly visible operations. We, all of us, are inhaling the highly toxic climate engineering fallout with every breath we take. Unimaginably small nanoparticles of heavy metals and polymers. This is not an opinion. Again, it's lab test proven fact. Lab tests of airborne particles. Search this title, geoengineeringwatch.org, The Dimming, and view the documentary film trailer to learn more. The documentary that's still under production. We hope to complete it soon in spite of the challenges of the CV-19 lockdown. Back to the air we breathe, that is and has long since been laden with highly toxic particulates. Particulates that are bioaccumulative and very bioavailable. They build up in our systems and they wreak havoc in our systems. And who can say what else is in this mix on any given day? What else might be being dispersed on us? When we know and consider, even as of 1977, as a matter of record, the U.S. military had conducted 239 open-air biological tests on innocent U.S. civilians. Business as usual. Do we think it's any different today? Really? Connect the dots. The inflamed respiratory systems, at minimum, created by this constant atmospheric spraying and the massive amount of particulates that we're all inhaling with every breath, at minimum, creates fertile ground for every imaginable form of infection and disease, including CV-19. Please, please, connect the dots. Next headline from the Denver Post and other sources. Health officials are quitting or getting fired amid coronavirus outbreak. From that report, vilified, threatened with violence, and in some cases suffering from burnout, dozens of state and local public health officials around the U.S. have resigned or have been fired amid coronavirus outbreak, A testament to how politically combustible masks, lockdowns, and infection data have become. Question. Are some leaving their posts? Their posts of, in many cases, blind servitude to the empire, to the medical industrial complex, because they know the truth and are now finally responding to a calling of conscience. One can only hope that this process continues, that this trend continues. From Northern California's own mainstream media outlet, KRCR, this headline, California's top health official resigns without explanation. From that report, California's top public health official has resigned. Dr. Sonia Angel is out as a director and state public health officer for the California Department of Public Health. Her resignation letter made public late last Sunday did not explain why she decided to leave. Again, is it at least possible that some are now refusing to participate in the crimes of empire and the medical-industrial complex? On this same subject from the Daily Mail, this headline, dentists declare, quote, mask mouth, a new phenomenon as they see an explosion in patients suffering from tooth decay and gum disease after wearing face coverings. From that report, two top dentists in New York City say mask wearing makes people breathe through their nose and subsequently causes their mouth to dry out. The report further states this results in a decrease of saliva in the mouth, which works to neutralize acid and prevent tooth decay and gum disease. Final excerpt from this report, gum disease will eventually lead to strokes and an increased risk of heart attacks. Something to consider. Now consider this headline from multiple sources. Quote, Europe's top health officials say masks aren't helping in beating COVID-19. I fully understand how divisive this entire subject is, but I ask this question. How are we to assess what the truth actually is unless honest and objective investigation is undertaken? Blindly accepting the official narratives from the medical industrial complex and its corporate media lapdogs does not qualify as objective investigation. Search the report title just mentioned and examine the data without bias, ideology, or preconception. The list of experts that are speaking out about the long list of indisputable negatives regarding wearing masks everywhere all the time is growing by the day. Again, the list of experts speaking out against this. The same is true for the long and growing list of experts that are speaking out against the so-called warp speed vaccine manufacturing stampede and the health dangers posed by it. A profit bonanza for Big Pharma and all those Big Pharma executives that came from former U.S. government agencies. Consider and remember that the government officials and so-called experts that are calling for the public to unquestioningly obey their every dictate are the same government officials and experts that somehow knew the CV-19 epidemic was coming years in advance. Stop and consider that for a moment. Moving on, more pieces of the puzzle. From vaccineimpact.com, Russia shocks the world by approving first COVID vaccine. Big Pharma throws temper tantrum. Will they apply the same criticisms to their own vaccines? The title states. What do you think? A quick rundown on headlines from last week. Any headline can be searched online to learn more. First headline. These headlines, by the way, are just a few samples of the ongoing great unraveling that I started this broadcast with mentioning. Singapore's economic contraction in the second quarter was worse than initial estimates. Next headline. Chinese firms that fail U.S. accounting standards to be delisted as of 2022. We're not going to make it that far. Wait and see. Another headline. Debenhams to cut 2,500 more jobs amid pandemic. Debenhams is a U.K. international retailer. Another headline. No, Americans aren't suddenly flying again. Despite what the media said, today to boost stocks of airlines and Boeing. Stock market, absolute Ponzi scheme, always has been, but it's reaching the end of its ability to sustain itself with the snake eating its own tail again. Being pumped up with printed Fed fiat money through the back doors of these companies to keep the illusion going until the last possible moment. Best commodity you can own, whatever you can eat, drink, or shelter with. That will soon be the case. Another headline, Boeing 737 MAX cancellations rise, deliveries drop as crisis drags on. Another headline, UK's Heathrow Airport passengers numbers down 88% amid ongoing travel restrictions. Another headline, IMF, that's the International Monetary Fund, willing to redouble Lebanon efforts. Let's remember the Beirut explosion, subject to reform commitment. Wow, isn't that interesting? The timing of this, isn't it? The International Monetary Fund said on Sunday it was willing to redouble efforts to help Lebanon after the devastating blast that hit Beirut, but said all of the country's institutions needed to show willingness to carry out reforms. The IMF dictated, and certainly they are not allowed to question the official narrative of the cause of this blast, or who may have delivered it to Beirut. Another headline, bite the bullet or extend and pretend. Unemployment in Europe. 45 million people have been furloughed in Germany, the UK, France, Italy, and Spain. But the, quote, unemployment rate barely budged because furloughs don't count, creating government-subsidized zombie companies and zombie jobs. Same as the so-called unemployment rate in the U.S. Anybody who falls off the conveyor no longer counts, statistically speaking. Another headline, out of work with families to feed. Some Americans are lining up at food banks for the first time in their lives. Next headline, America's obesity epidemic threatens effectiveness of any COVID vaccine. Another headline, 14 days, not always enough to detect COVID-19, study suggests. It'll take a lot to sort through what's true or not on this entire subject, as we all know. We must dig deep to try to sort out that truth and be very discerning. Another headline, teen vapors up to 7 times more likely to get COVID-19 than non-e-cig users, says new Stanford study. Certainly anything that inflames the respiratory system, a problem. Another headline, more fallout, coronavirus quarantine strangling UK economy. Next headline, 730,000 workers fall from UK payrolls between March and July. Next headline, study predicts millions of unsellable homes could upend market. The next headline should be considered deeply. Listen carefully. Why capitalism is in constant conflict with democracy. Why would we think those in power that have an insatiable lust for power and control, why would we think that they are in any sense concerned with democracy? The United States of America has descended into what can only be termed a fascist state, and it's going to get worse rapidly as climate and biosphere collapse accelerates and thus forces unbridled desperation by those in power. Another headline, quote, we can't run a business on a dead planet. CEOs plan to prioritize green issues post-coronavirus. Green issues like those covered in the documentary Planet of the Humans, highly recommend that. There is no magic bullet. We are through the guardrail. Brace for impact. Another headline. Study, high levels of mercury plastic toxins found in stranded whales and dolphins. Also aluminum. Massive levels of aluminum found in whales, in bees, in us. Where's all that aluminum coming from? Primary element in climate engineering patents. Why do they use aluminum? Because of the high reflectivity and the low coagulation rate. The particles don't stick together as other particles do, and they don't care about the consequences. In fact, the consequences would seem to serve those in power, because the more dumbed down the population is, the easier they are to control. And make no mistake about it, the constant inhalation of particles like aluminum nanoparticulates is, in fact, having a massive effect on our cognitive ability, period. It's there. It's not speculation. It's not hypothesis. It's not theory. They're there in all of us, and we're sucking more in with every breath. Another headline, Thai pro-democracy rally attracts thousands and discontent swells. This is the unraveling again, unfolding all over the world. Another headline, protests break out across Belarus following contested election as police crack down on demonstrators. Law enforcement must come to a calling of conscience where they remember it is their task to serve the public. And this doesn't mean to condone the kind of violent rioting that's going on in so many places that probably has many provocateurs involved with that. We need law enforcement now more than ever, but we need law enforcement to remember who they represent. Yes, root out these violent and destructive individuals, but with a compassion for those that are peacefully protesting. This is a balance that must be struck. We are all in completely uncharted territory, and as the manifestation of climate and biosphere collapse accelerates, when there's not enough to go around, when there's not enough food on the shelves, that's when the party is really going to start. That's when the severity and immediacy of what's unfolding becomes apparent to the population, and the degree to which they have been lied to becomes apparent, and we can only guess what happens then. Scenarios that will probably make Mad Max look like a day at Disneyland. That time is very near. We must learn to work together to law enforcement and agency officials. Working together does not include blindly carrying out the dictates of those in power at the expense of the populations that, again, need you now more than ever. Another headline of increasing unrest. Phoenix police arrest 8 after protesters push over barricades outside police department headquarters. Those that are instigating such violence should be arrested and detained. But again, peaceful protesters should be treated with respect by law enforcement anywhere in the world. Back to biosphere collapse and related headlines that reveal power structure desperation. This headline, U.S. plans to build up Syrian proxy forces to guard oil field. And there's this headline that reveals the U.S. empire's intervention in countries all over the world. A new report reveals U.S. special forces active in 22 African countries. From that headline, a new report published in the South African newspaper The Mail and The Guardian has shed light on the opaque world of the American military presence in Africa. Last year, elite U.S. Special Operations Forces were active in 22 African countries that we know of. How many other countries have their special forces in our country? Do you think we would allow that for a second? Yet we are in everybody's backyard, all over the world. And how many have the audacity to still pretend that America is not a completely out-of-control empire at this point, a fascist state that's now wreaking its havoc on its own population? Another headline, Germany expresses displeasure at U.S. threat over Russia pipeline. The U.S. still trying to dictate what anybody does anywhere in the world. Another headline, Turkey flexes military muscle in maritime feud with Greece. Again, more of these conflicts are going to arise. Another headline, Syria, or I should say in Syria, Trump's, quote, keep the oil occupation runs into trouble. Next headline, Serbia considers buying Chinese missiles despite U.S. warning. Another headline, U.S. Japanese militaries conduct training exercise with B-1 bomber. Conducting drills in everyone's backyard, would we allow that in the Gulf of Mexico or perhaps off the coast of California or New York? I think not. Another headline, a missile showdown in the South China Sea would be the crisis of our time. These are only a few example headlines. There are many more. The storm we collectively face is already well underway. Chaos and carnage are coming. How much longer till our ability to communicate is taken away from us? More headlines. Chaos in Chicago. Bridges raised to prevent gun-toting looters getting downtown. Again, just snapshots of what is to come. Welcome to the new world. From numerous sources, escape from New York. Wealthy residents flee in droves as the city degenerates into a hellhole. That's what this headline states. From that report, hundreds of thousands of wealthy residents have already left New York City, and more are leaving every day as America's biggest city rapidly degenerates into, again, the term hellhole. But it's not just New York. And what's unfolding is just the beginning. From the rainforestsite.com and other sources, food shortages, wildfires, massive die-offs expected by, get this, 2040. What planet are these people living on? It's here, today, right now. There are so many that refuse to face reality, and somehow they have to pretend it's still over the horizon somewhere. It's here now. We have to look past this kind of disinformation that's created to fortify already deepening complacency in populations. In regard to that headline, food shortages, wildfires, massive die-offs expected, every form of human activity that's affected Earth's life support systems, Earth's energy balance, is a form of warfare against the web of life on which our lives depend. But the intentional intervention with Earth's life support systems, i.e. climate engineering, is the most dire and immediate threat we collectively face short of nuclear cataclysm. It supersedes everything else. And again, as this collapse unfolds, the power structure desperation is manifesting in many forms. That is what is happening in all of our lives with each passing day at this point. Let's take a moment to remember Lyndon Johnson's quote, which is featured at the beginning of every one of the Global Alert broadcasts. He stated that we already had the power to control the world's cloud cover in 1962, and that, quote, he who controls the weather controls the world. Climate engineering, aka weather warfare, which continues to wreak havoc all over the world. On that note, this headline from Fox 10 Phoenix, drought conditions in Arizona getting worse. The climate engineers control the spigot. They decide where it will rain, how much it will rain, how toxic that rain will be. Next headline. The climate engineers can and are manipulating atmospheric pressure zones. This allows them to manipulate wind patterns. With that in mind, consider this headline from the Dominion Register and other sources. Quote, hurricane force storm in Iowa flattens 10 million acres of crops. From that report, Governor Reynolds issues a disaster proclamation following Monday's storms. An estimated 10 million crop acres were destroyed in Monday's derecho winds, said Reynolds, along with multiple COVID-19 testing sites across the state. Next headline from Strategic Culture Foundation, Water Wars and America's Fate. From that report, India versus China, Egypt versus Ethiopia, Israel versus the Palestinians, the water wars are already here in the U.S. And yet, American and European policymakers remain disastrously blind to them. This is certain to have catastrophic consequences for the wealthy, arrogant, and ludicrously complacent elites of the West. The problem is particularly acute in the United States. Indeed, it has been growing for a half century, but has reached such enormous dimensions in the 21st century that neocon, imperialist, Republican, neoliberal, imperialist, Democratic, and green policymakers are all oblivious to it. When it comes to mediating, Washington policymakers don't have, or perhaps want, a clue. The climate engineers control the spigot. Governments all over the globe are actively or passively participating in the climate engineering insanity, covering up the crime for each other, each of them carrying this out on their own populations. And the division and chaos that climate engineering is creating and will continue to create serves those in power. When populations can barely make it through the day to meeting their own basic needs, how are they to focus on anything else? And those in power know this. Climate engineering is the crown jewel weapon of the military-industrial complex, and there's so much more than just climate engineering going on in our skies. So much more, the depth of which we can only ultimately speculate at. But I covered some of that earlier in this broadcast. Please, please connect the dots. Let's keep going. It gets worse. More pieces to the puzzle. Keep in mind that the polar regions are the planet's air conditioning system. From SciTech Daily, .com and other sources, NASA and NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, satellites observed surprisingly rapid increase in scale and intensity of fires in Siberia. Follow me through. There's some important points leading to an important conclusion. Climate News Network, end of Arctic sea ice by 2035, possible study finds. Let's dissect this a bit. Though some paid disinformation sources of, quote, science still estimate the end of the century, in fact, before Arctic ice completely disappears. Other sources have had to start admitting that the Arctic meltdown is much closer. But even the estimates that many would label as, quote, pessimistic are, in fact, still delusionally optimistic. The climate engineers are throwing everything they have at masking the polar implosions from the public until the last possible moment. Again, all of this is completely connected with the CV-19 scenario and countless other crimes being carried out by those in power in their attempt to maintain their control for as long as possible. The polar scientists and climate scientists that still deny the climate engineering factor are either criminally ignorant of the field of study in which we are told they are degreed experts, or they're lying. You decide. Are the climate engineers trying to mask the polar meltdown for the greater good? Absolutely not. Those in power have but one primary concern. Again, maintaining their stranglehold of power and control until the brutal, bitter end. About the Arctic. The heat is and has been rapidly building, both above and below the now greatly diminished ice pack, for decades. Though the mass or volume of the Arctic sea ice has crashed, with all of the multi-year ice having melted away, a surface that is increasingly thin, broken ice and slush magically remains. How can that be? Climate engineering is how. Jet stream manipulation is how, via the use of ionosphere heater installations like HARP that are literally frying some regions, like parts of the western U.S., in California, in Arizona, for example, cutting off almost all flows of moisture, the upper level winds, and the moisture is diverted up and over the high pressure heat domes, which rotate clockwise in the northern hemisphere. The directed moisture is part of a conveyor of moisture that is eventually utilized for targeted cool down zones via patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Search the engineering winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more. The excessive moisture is a key component of the climate engineering operations, a key component of countless climate engineering objectives. The jet stream and storm moisture manipulation devastates many regions with relentless heat and drought, while deluging other regions with constant storms and flooding. So about the atmospheric manipulation described and its impact on the polar ice, manipulation that includes massive sea surface chemical ice nucleation. The attempt of the climate engineers to mask the polar meltdown and to statistically augment the Arctic ice extent or surface area, and in doing so, they are in effect capping the heat in the Arctic Ocean. That's already far too warm. Temperatures in some regions of the Arctic Ocean have been recorded at nearly 30 degrees Fahrenheit above the long-term historical norms. This degree of thermal energy buildup is incomprehensible. Again, remember and consider that a cubic meter of seawater can contain 4,000 times the thermal energy that a cubic meter of air contains. The rapidly warming Arctic Ocean is destabilizing formerly frozen methane hydrate deposits on the seafloor, which is very shallow in regions of the Arctic. The thawing methane reservoirs are increasingly blowing out from the seafloor, migrating to the sea surface and then into the atmosphere. Why is this so dire? Because there's enough frozen methane in the Arctic to turn our formerly thriving planet Earth into a true sister to Venus. If a significant percentage of the methane hydrate deposits reaches the atmosphere, it will be game over. Over a 10-year time horizon, methane is approximately 120 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. Thickening the blanket of methane in the atmosphere will and already is heating our planet. As the planet heats, water vapor increasingly enters the equation, which is yet another form of greenhouse gas. Feedback loops are being triggered, such as the example just given. The more methane that the heating causes to literally explode from regions like the Arctic tundra and the Arctic seabed, the more methane that will be released. Due to the heating created by the methane that has already been released, the cycle feeds itself. Search Siberian methane craters. Examine the shocking images. I'm not asking anyone to believe me. I'm asking you to believe what you can see with your own eyes. As GeoengineeringWatch.org has stated for over a decade, on the record, planet Earth is not facing, quote, global warming. What we are already free-falling into is most correctly termed as an abrupt climate collapse. All of it, absolutely all of everything I have just described, is being further fueled overall by the ongoing global climate engineering weather warfare assault, which governments, again, all over the world have actively or passively participated in for over 70 years, not for the greater good, but for reasons that are rooted in power and control and maintaining the status quo until the last possible hour. Listen carefully to this statement from, again, former presidential advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski. Quote, technology will make available to the leaders of major nations techniques for conducting secret warfare of which only a bare minimum of the security forces need be appraised. Techniques of weather modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm, end quote. Brzezinski's statement should have included a reference to chemical ice nucleation and the engineered winter and ice scenarios it creates, but you get the idea. Climate engineering is weather warfare, nothing less. And if it's allowed to continue on the current course, statistically speaking, we have little to no chance of even short-term survival on our rapidly dying planet. And on top of the climate engineering assault, every single form of human activity that is decimating the planet and its life support systems must also be considered. It's not a this or that scenario, it's a this and that equation. I'm often asked, could we soon pass the point of no return? My answer is this: we have long since passed the point of no return. From a climate collapse scenario, mathematically speaking, that crossroad was perhaps 2 decades ago. Every single day the weather warfare assault is allowed to continue further seals our collective fate. If the planet is not completely and immediately freed from the intentional interference with its life support systems and allowed to respond on its own to the countless forms of human decimation, with climate engineering being at the top of the list, we will have no chance. But many ask this: what about CV-19? Too many have chosen to believe that CV-19 is a totally separate and unrelated threat, but this is not the case. CV-19 is a manifestation of total power structure desperation, desperation that is being fueled by all that I have just described in this broadcast and hundreds of previous broadcasts. And for over a decade at geoengineeringwatch.org, trying to warn about what is unfolding right now, that climate and environmental collapse would fuel unrestrained power structure desperation. How desperate are the climate engineers? This title, and then consider my commentary afterward. From counterpunch.org, freakish Arctic fires alarmingly intensify. Remember, it must rain more overall on a rapidly warming planet unless there's a massive factor that's not being disclosed, i.e. climate engineering. Northern latitude boreal forests are burning with more ferocity than ever before. There's more smoke, and the smoke is lofted higher into the atmosphere due to the intensity of the fires. Now consider this paradox. The scenario I just described has been cited in so-called science studies as being, quote, beneficial for the temporary cooling of the Arctic. Yes, an atmosphere filled with millions of tons of sun-blocking particulates, i.e. smoke, that was formerly forest can and does create temporary cooling in the polar regions, but at what cost to the planet as a whole? At this cost, the cost of sealing our collective fate. Now, this question: are the climate engineers desperate enough to create the conditions that have fueled such fires in order to mask the meltdown in the Arctic for even one more season? If you refuse to believe such a scenario is even remotely possible, I understand. But I ask you to search and view perhaps the most important 22-minute video report so far done by geoengineeringwatch.org. Search geoengineeringwatch.org, Engineering Catastrophic Wildfires to Temporarily Cool Earth. In so many regions of the world, far above normal temperatures are the new normal. Every single day, the conditions in Northern California are increasingly brutal. The forests are dying, though few notice, and even fewer are willing to admit it. This holds true for official agencies that are, in fact, playing the part of hiding unfolding dire threats from the public for as long as possible. While parts of the U.S. fry and burn, another engineered weather whiplash cooldown is scheduled for other regions in the U.S. Search Geoengineering Watch is creating freeze-fry extremes to learn more. Habitat on our formerly thriving planet is dying and disappearing by the day, both terrestrial and aquatic. No habitat, no food production, no functional planetary life support systems, no humans. This scenario is not somewhere in the future. It's unfolding now. Native American visionary Black Elk shared this quote: I was standing on the highest mountain of them all, and round about beneath me was the whole hoop of the world. And while I stood there, I saw more than I can tell, and I understood more than I saw, for I was seeing in a sacred manner the shapes of all things in the spirit, and the shape of all shapes as they must live together like one being. Man's war against nature is a war against himself. The web of life is completely and totally interwoven, a chain that cannot be broken without the entire web collapsing. Those who wield the levers of power are completely out of control. Their arrogance and hubris is beyond true comprehension. The global climate engineering weather warfare assault is a stunning and deadly example. As climate and environmental collapse accelerates, CV-19, a manifestation of total desperation, is another example. But we must never forget, those in power, could not do what they are doing without the active or passive support of the majority population. We've seen the enemy, and he is us. No matter how dark the horizon, no matter how great the odds are against a turning of the tide, it's not over till it's over, as the saying goes. Any one of us could be the last grain of sand that begins to tilt the scale in the right direction, any one of us could be the pebble that triggers the landslide. As I've stated so many times, those in power are not gods and we are not helpless. Waking the masses to what is unfolding and why is the first and most critically important leap in the right direction. It is, in fact, the only way forward in this fight. Check the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more about how you can help to sound the alarm. Share credible data from a credible source. Make your voice heard. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with geoengineeringwatch.org.